someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. The word will work wonders in you and for you.
Psalm 19, and I'll read from verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'll read verse 11 and 12, a popular scripture that I believe all of us should be acquainted with. Ecclesiastes 9, and I'll read from verse 11. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Verse 12 says, for man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. The Lord bless the reading of his word. I'll be sharing tonight on divine timing, and I'd like to title this, Capacity for My Opportunity. Capacity for My Opportunity. Psalm 19 that we read, it said, day unto day utter speech, night unto night show forth knowledge. That means there's something about the day, there's something about the night, there's something about the passing of minutes and seconds that should bring something into our lives. One of the funny things that happen in life is that people guard their age jealously until they begin to attain to a certain age that you cannot no more hide. Am I saying the truth? If you would like to celebrate your 40th, everybody will have to know that you're 40. Likewise, 50 or 60. But prior to 40, people, if I tell you now, please let me tell your neighbor your age, you feel like, why? Some people just ask the question, why? Praise God. Am I saying the truth? There are some people here tonight who are still very scared about their age. Not because the age is bad or it has never been hard before. The worst case scenario, you are less than one. Or you are older than Methuselah. And so maybe you are close to 1,000 and something. But the truth is, I often wonder why people don't want to talk about their age. Why we want to hide it. The possibility is that we're ashamed of it because of maybe some things. Either some things that are supposed to happen that have not happened, or some things that have happened too many times. For many reasons, people are just shy or ashamed or afraid of talking about their age. And, thinking about that, I felt that there should be reasons why we should be proud of how old we are. Am I saying the truth? I'm in my mid-30s and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm going to be 36, yeah. That's what you want to hear. What's the difference between mid-30s and going to be 36? you see what I'm saying is just happening now. Because you thought I'm going to be shy to say it. I tested you. And it happened just exactly like that. So it's Why is it that people are usually very shy about their age? You don't want to talk about it. The ladies guard it jealously. Scripture says, day unto day utter speech, night unto night show forth knowledge. Job 32, when you read from verse 8 or verse 7, Job was speaking. He said, I thought that plenty of years you speak, and plenty of days you show wisdom. But he said, no, he said, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I just want to bring a change of perspective to our minds as I proceed in this message tonight, that there's nothing to be ashamed of about our age. Some people are here tonight who are well older than me, and so what? I'm going to be your age very soon. And if you're younger than me, very soon you're going to be my age. So, am I saying the truth? I have people in this service who are over 50. Some time ago, you were in your mid-30s. And as if Jesus tarries, I'm going to catch up with you. Very simple. Am I saying the truth? And there are some people here who are still in their mid-20s too. And you're looking at me as if I'm old. While some people are looking at me as if I'm young. That's just life. But the truth is, I'm neither old nor young. Depending on the phase of life, you know, that I'm treading on. Am I saying the truth? It depends on how you see it. Jesus, our soon coming King, ever living Redeemer, only begotten Son of God, left here at 33. Presently now, I'm older than him. Praise God. Can you hear me tell your neighbor, I'm not ashamed of my age. Okay, now if you are not ashamed of it, somebody is saying, Pastor, don't go there. Praise God. Don't worry. If you refuse to tell us, we will know when you are 40 or 50 or 60. We will know. There's no way we won't know. You see, as people progress in their lives and their age becomes more significant, they readily, you know, spread it in the sun and just show it, they show it to everybody. But before then, people are usually a bit agitated about their age. You don't know what somebody is going to think if you say it. You don't know what the implication will be if you say it. But the truth is that time is given to our advantage. Time is supposed to create opportunities for us. Opportunity for investment. Opportunity for building capacity. Time is not my enemy. Time is not your enemy. And God gives time to everyone equally. Time is supposed to give us the opportunity to interact with our world so that we can appreciate it better and we can appreciate in it. Is somebody still with me? That's the essence of time. If somebody is older than me, he or she has only had more time to interact with this world so that he or she can also appreciate in this world. So if you're older than me and you're richer than me, it's not a problem. Just give me some time. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because if I have more time to interact with this world, with the elements of the world, with the things that should make me appreciate, in a matter of time, I should be there. That's the whole essence of it. That's why the Bible says, day unto day, utter speech, night unto night, show forth knowledge. If you are sleeping and you are waking up, you're supposed to have access. Day unto day, utter speech. Every day is saying something to you and I. Night unto night reveals knowledge, New King James says. Reveals knowledge. So if you're sleeping and waking up, night unto night is supposed to bring revelation into your life. And by implication, you build capacity. You are not supposed to be the same person you have always been, just because you have the advantage of time, or you have access to time. You have access to time. So it's not supposed to be a very, very joyous thing that somebody is still young because you've had access to limited time. At the same time, sometimes it's not supposed to be very palatable when you are old because your time has run out. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, somebody is still very young. You're supposed to be agitating to gain entrance into the time ahead of you. Perhaps day will speak something to you. Night will reveal something that will take you further towards where you are going. And it's the same thing if at 60, you know, they say a fool at 40 is a fool forever. I beg to disagree. It's one of the greatest lies of this age. But I believe a fool at 80 can be a fool forever. No, that's the truth. But 40 is not anything. A man can be a pauper at 40 and a multi-billionaire at 45. Most of the time, you don't need more than 5 years to change your destiny. In my own opinion, it's maximum. You don't need more than 5 years to change your destiny. Because it's been discovered that if you practice something consistently for 10,000 hours, you'll become a master in it. And the number of hours within 5 years is much more than 10,000. It's about 20-something thousand. I've done the calculation a few times. Last time I was speaking at the choir retreat, we did the calculation there with the calculator. 24 times 5 times 365. Praise God. And then you realize that within 5 years, a man is supposed to be able to turn his destiny around. That is if day to day is showing forth knowledge. Night unto night is revealing something, and we are appreciating and increasing. So time is either an asset or a liability. When you invest time in things that can make your life more qualitative, it becomes an asset to you. If you are a time waster, then time becomes a liability to you, because the only thing you can say is that I'm now 70, I'm now 80. But there may not be so much to show for it. Is somebody still with me? I said, is somebody still with me? So it's very important that we understand what time is supposed to do for us, or what time is supposed to be for us, or how we're supposed to manage time. And I'm bringing two perspectives to the understanding of time tonight, which I believe that a lot of us should be aware of, and how we can, you know, look at it from these two perspectives, and don't forget where I'm going with a view of building capacity. At the end of the day, I'm going to show us two examples of two people. Now, time. The word translated time in the Bible, for instance, in the Greek New Testament, you have chronos and kairos. Chronos simply talks about the time as in clock. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Many people, especially even when we teach time management, we only sit with time management in drawing up our schedule and talking about what we're going to do at 1 o'clock and what we're going to do at 2 o'clock and how many hours the meeting is going to take, you know, and things like that. So we see the management of time and our interaction with time limited to clock. But ladies and gentlemen, God never created the clock. The invention of the clock has helped us and advanced technology. But God was never the creator of the clock. Man created clock. And like one man said, God created man. Man created the clock. And man is using the clock that he created to time the God that created him. Is that not the truth? You see, because today, Chronos, from where we get the word chronicles, which talks about the sequential happening of events, is what we use. It takes us to deadlines, things that we need to do. You know, we measure it. We stay by it. And some people are in this service today who are still angry with God just because they have timed God with a clock. Because many people go to prayer with their clock and just tell God, I'm going to be here for an hour. After I spent an hour with you, I expect that in the next 5 hours, I should get answer to the prayer or to whatever my request is. So invariably, you're saying that I'll just give you 5 hours. Perform within 5 hours, or yet you won't be my God again. No. Many a times you don't say it like that. But that's what happens. Am I saying the truth? Somebody speak to me. Yeah? Am I saying the truth? That's what happens, but we may not say it like that. For some people, you just say, look, God, I'll just pray for 3 hours all night, or 4 hours, and then I'll give you 30 days. Just 30. If you are truly the powerful God, the most holy God, in 30 days, something must happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I begin to change my mind. I begin to doubt whether you are the real God or I should look for another. Praise God. But that's one way of looking at time. The other way of looking at time is the way time also has been described, even though it's been interpreted time, but the Greek word for it is kairos, which doesn't talk about the sequence of events or what happens or you know, the chronological thing, but it simply talks about seasons and dispensations, critical junctures. It talks about divine appointment. It talks about divine intervention. It talks about phases in life, which are critical to human experience. Critical to human experience as a people and as a person. Can I give you an example? We celebrate our Independence Day in Nigeria. We got our independence 1960. And that's 49 years ago. Am I right? Okay, so next year Nigeria will be 50. That time, even though we boil it down to 1960, the event that happened, that culminated into the independence, is not just a time, it's something that signaled a new season. When Jesus came, he announced the kingdom of God. Said, repent and be converted. And he talks about the kingdom of God coming. The coming of the kingdom, for instance, is not a particular timing. It's talking about a change of dispensation. Things are going to change. Can you hear me tap your neighbor and say, things are going to change? That's the announcement. That's the announcement. So Kairos seeks to provoke a radical response, an urgent choice, or a fundamental reorientation. A radical response, an urgent choice, or a fundamental reorientation. A change in dispensation. Something is about to change. Something is about to change. Something is about to change. When you read Psalm 102 verse 13, the psalmist says, you will arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is here. Is somebody still with me? So it's a change in dispensation, a time of favor. You can't put it chronos to it to say it's 12 o'clock. Then favor will start. Am I saying the truth? Or you're going to say favor will start at 6 p.m. No. It's just simply that it's a change of season. Something is changing. Something is about to change. And that's what I sense in my spirit. That there's a change coming. Something is about to change. When scripture talks about the sons of Issachar in the First Chronicles or so, he said they have understanding of time to know what Israel ought to do. So he said, so their brothers were at their command. The understanding of time there is not talking about 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. Because it also comes with what to do. Comes with what to do. If a man lives maybe in Europe or America and you don't know it's winter and you decide to wear summer clothes during winter, you cannot see the end of that winter. That's the truth. Because you are running contrary to the season. And that's the way many Christians live their lives. Why? Because of simple lack of understanding of seasons. Or what God is doing or about to do. And like I said, time is meant to create opportunities for us. There are many people here today, you're praying for God to give you your own family. Maybe you're single. And you're asking God to promote you, as it were, and give you a spouse. Excuse me. But you really don't even understand what that is all about. You know, there are certain things that is just like a man who has been hearing about winter or summer, but really never comprehended what this season is all about. But you just know that the season is going to come upon you. When a season is about to change, when you go to Europe or America, you see that even the kind of clothing you find in the shops, they will be different. They will pack the other ones away and move new ones in. The weather may not have changed, but they know a new season is coming. And they know that there are reasonable people who want to prepare for that season. Am I saying the truth? I remember my sister-in-law was having a chat a few weeks ago when the rains just started. And she said that a colleague in the office went to buy an umbrella. And the umbrella, in their own opinion, was so expensive. So they started abusing her. That why did she wait till the rain has come to buy umbrella? That's why it's so expensive. So I asked her, what should she do? She has refused to buy before the rain. The rain has come. The umbrella is expensive. She should spread the money on top of her head. She's left with no choice but to buy the umbrella, albeit expensive. Am I saying the truth? The truth is that she refused to prepare for the season. But the season is inevitable. Somebody say amen. The season is inevitable. But she refused to prepare for the season. And then the season came and she had to pay more dearly for it. And that's the way life is generally. Especially when you understand the management of time from the perspective of day-to-day management of time, now to the perspective of the dispensation or seasons management of time. There are many people here today, like I said, who are trusting God for a future partner, but who, if you ask them, when was the last time you read a book about marriage? The only thing that will cross their mind is that if they read a book about marriage, people will make fun of them. Am I saying the truth? Isn't that funny and crazy? Your prayer and your preparation are not at par at all. And that's why today we have a lot of people who are literally just creating trouble for their pastors, parents, spiritual leaders. Because in the person that you ask, who sent you? And now we can't sleep again. Because you are married. No, that's the truth. You know, when they say a marriage is a marriage of the century, you can see it from two perspectives. One that is, you know, really, you know, marriage of the century. They spent money and the family and the home is doing well. But there's certain marriage of the century. Even the people that didn't know when they got married, now they can't sleep again. And it's not funny for the people that are involved. It's not funny for the people who are trying to help. But the truth is that success only happens when opportunity meets preparation. Is somebody still with me? Yeah. Success only happens when opportunity meets preparation. Can you hear me tap your neighbor and say, give me opportunity. Give me capacity for my opportunity. That should be the prayer of our heart tonight, and that's what we're going to be praying. Capacity for my opportunity. Many people have not taken advantage of time, whether in Chronos or Kairos, but most especially in Kairos, to be able to build capacity for the opportunity. And little wonder we run from pillar to post, and like the preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, he says, like the fish in the sea. He says, suddenly the net will cut them. Evil will come suddenly. Like the bird, snare will come suddenly. Why? Because we have refused to develop capacity for our opportunity. When opportunity shows up, as time progresses, for some people, it's doomsday. For some other people, it's just as if they are lucky. And like my pastor often says, you can be lucky every day. In fact, the will of God for us is that we are lucky every day. Why? Because when God sends the opportunity, we are there prepared. We are there with capacity waiting. Somebody is doing. You know that some people, talking about this understanding of Chronos and Kairos, maybe this is for somebody here today. You are walking in a place, it may even be a word of knowledge for somebody. You are walking in a place, and you are doing your work very diligently. In the management of seconds and hours, you are managing it. They said, get there at 7 o'clock, you are there at 7. You don't close until 5 p.m. because the closing time is 5 p.m. And in between, when it's time for break, you take your break, you know, studiously. Everything is prim and proper. But you have never taken one course to develop yourself. You are managing Chronos. But when your Kairos will come suddenly, they will say, I don't have that certification. And that's the end of it. Not me, anybody can do about it. They will say that it's good. It comes regularly. It does its work regularly. But you have lost sight of seasons that will come. Because there's a season of promotion that will come suddenly. And in that season, what we count is not when you get to work, sir. What will count may just be that you have an additional certification. Because somebody can be on a job for 5 years, your employer didn't send you on a course, and you refuse to send yourself. But scripture says, day unto day, utter speech. And night unto night, show forth knowledge. There's no point sleeping and waking up every day. No speech. Nothing is speaking to you. You are not speaking to anything. No knowledge is revealed because you're not doing anything about it. The same way some people just feel that it's just normal now. When you're approaching 28, you get married. And then as you're approaching it, it doesn't look like it's going to come. What are you doing? A change in dispensation is coming upon you, an inevitable one for that matter, and yet you open your eyes and you refuse to do anything about it. And then it comes upon you suddenly. They just drag you to the altar. And because you don't want to disappoint your prayer, say, I do. Then after, like one of my friends will say, you have dust. What is next? Now the next thing is strife, abuse, foolishness. Let's just put it plainly. Why? Because there's no capacity for that opportunity. There's no capacity for the opportunity. Sometimes God will make it to be that there will be some delay just because he wants you to build capacity. You see, one day of pleasure is better than 1,000 days of displeasure. Ask people who have experienced it. You know, we say experience is the best teacher when it's not your own. No, it's true. Because there's no point. If it's your own, then plus the pain and everything you have got in it, is the best only when they just told you. You didn't feel the pain. So you made out wisdom out of it without the pain. That's when it's the best teacher. Anytime you have to learn something the hard way, that's not the best teacher. Is somebody still with me? So you ask somebody who has gotten it wrong in marriage for a few years, and they will open up to you to say, sister, you better ask God for capacity for your opportunity. Because one day of pleasure is better than 1,000 days of pain and strife. Is somebody listening to me today? So it's important that we understand that God wants us to create the balance in our minds. Somebody said we exist in Chronos, we long for Kairos. So that's the duality of existence. We exist in Chronos, but we have to be longing for Kairos, because Kairos is the one that carries the opportunity, the changes that we desire. Somebody may be here today desperate for a change. But how are you living within time, within the existence itself? What are you doing? Are you thinking of the new season, the new dispensation that you don't have a choice but must come upon you? You know that some single people in church, it's when their wedding is 1 month, 1 month to the wedding, that's when they come and ask you about marriage counseling. And I look at them and say, how dumb thou art. If you really see it as an opportunity truly to move to the next level, shouldn't wisdom tell you that there's something that will prepare you? Is somebody still with me? You see, the deprivation that we experience in our country has made many people to lose sight of whatever is called preparation. We just want things to happen to us. We just want things to happen to us. But it's never palatable when things just happen all of a sudden and we're not prepared for it. Can you lift up your right hand and say, give me capacity for my opportunity? Thank you, Jesus. I look at two people in the Bible, like I said. Mary, one. In Isaiah chapter 7, when you read from verse 14, there was a prophecy there. Maybe we should read it. Maybe we should read it. Join me in Isaiah chapter 7, and I'll read from verse 14. Can you hear me tell your neighbor, say, are you still here? All right. Isaiah chapter 7, I'll read from verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then he goes ahead to say all the things that will happen just because of that Kairos experience. All the things that will happen. In verse 18 it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly. This is the farthest part of the river of Egypt and blah, blah, blah. It talks about many things. They will come, all of them will rest in the desolate valleys. Many things that will happen just because of that one experience. A virgin will conceive. That is a change of dispensation. Will be signals. He said the Lord himself will show you a sign. What is the sign? A virgin will conceive. That means at the point that a virgin will conceive is a Kairos moment. Is somebody still with me? The occurrence of that season is going to change the way things are done. when the Twin Towers were brought down on September 11, 2001, I believe, it was a Kairos moment. It was a change in dispensation. The aviation industry never remained the same, and it will never remain the same again. And you can imagine somebody were to be in aviation and you just had a glimpse of that change and your position. But look at what happened here. That one sentence, a virgin will conceive. Don't forget that prophet Isaiah never mentioned the name of anybody. The Mary that I said is just to bring back to your mind that it was Mary later, but he never mentioned the name of anybody. And then we get to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, an angel appeared to a young lady. A young lady who has been building capacity for opportunity. Perhaps she may have heard that prophecy before, because prophecies were often repeated in Israel. They were not kept secret. That was why people were expecting the coming of the Messiah, because prophecies were not kept secret. They knew there would be a Messiah. They did not know the time. They have heard about the sign of the time, and they were expecting. She herself perhaps may have heard the prophecies, but may never have occurred to her that it would be her. But one thing happened. By the time the Kairos moment will come, somehow, not by happenstance, but by perhaps determination, she happened to be a virgin. Do you know that, forget all the good works of Mary, if Mary was not a virgin, nothing for her. God was not ready to bend the prophecy. So, did they mention the name of Mary's father here? No. Or the school she went to? No. One critical factor in the prophecy was virginity, and she had it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That was why I said, if you're working in a place and you're doing everything, and there's one critical factor, a certification, and you don't have it, when the promotion will come, they will just say sorry. That's all. Sorry. A critical factor, virginity, and she had it. And just because of that, she was qualified. And then the angel appeared to her, told her everything that would happen. And Mary lifted up her voice, and she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." She asked the question, how will this thing be? The angel told her, and she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Do you know how many prophecies fly in church every day? We stand there, we prophesy. Everybody will shout a resounding amen to all those prophecies. But when the Kairos moment will come, where will it meet you? That's the point. Because prophecies are divinely granted utterances. We don't say things just because we feel good. Because God is speaking. God is speaking. Only men speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. No prophecy of the Scripture. The Scripture says is of private interpretation. Only men speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And when those utterances are released, God is looking for people who will position. And by positioning, I mean with capacity. Capacity. Because there are certain things that will never happen until opportunity meets capacity. Is somebody still with me? Like I said before, if Mary were not a virgin, she wasn't a virgin, nothing for her, like we say, nothing. How many people agree with me? Nothing for her. It's as simple as that. And she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She looked at her, said, "Blessed are you among all women." And the woman started speaking prophetically. "How is it that the father of my Lord has come to me?" Even Mary, it never really dawned on her what has happened to her. until she went with her cousin too. We wanted to see her cousin who could speak prophetically into her life. So you see that building capacity for the next phase, for the words that have gone forth, is very critical to those words coming to pass. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, let's read it, verse 7 to 10. I'm just using this to speak to young ladies in the house today. Let's read our scripture together. I don't know, maybe I'm just dwelling on this just because of one person in this service that God wants to give a new orientation. Don't forget that the Kairos moment is the one that provokes a fundamental change in orientation. Song of Solomon, I will read from chapter 8, verse 7 to 10. It says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the flood drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it will be utterly despised. Verse 8 says, we have a little sister and she has no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she is spoken for? Verse 9, if she is a wall, we will build upon her a battlement of silver. And if she's a door, we will enclose her with birds of cedar. Verse 10 says, I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then I became in his eyes as one who found peace. One translation says, favor. King James says, favor. One talks about our sister being a door, and they say we will not walk through her. Many brothers in church today are walking through our sisters, who seemingly are like doors. What you're doing is destroying capacity for your opportunity. Is somebody still with me? Because a marriage that is premised on uncontrolled passion will have many turbulent periods. Is somebody still with me? You go into marriage and you say you are a Christian. You are sleeping with each other. You are playing with the opportunity that God is about to bring upon you suddenly. And the truth is that you are playing with destruction. Am I speaking to somebody today? He said, if our sister is a door, he said, we will cover her. Said, if she's a wall, if she's a virgin, he said, we will build upon her an embattlement of silver. We will decorate her. That's the role of the men in the house. And if there's any lady here today who seemingly, single lady, but a door, don't walk around with men who will walk through you. Look at what the woman said. He said, I'm a wall. And my breast like towers, then I become in his height, as one who found favor. Because when that opportune time will come, that will count. Let me tap your neighbor, say, build capacity. There's no point behaving as if you don't know what is happening to you. There's a proper way to prepare to get into marriage. Part of it is not testing each other sexually. That's the truth. Praise God. Some people found it funny, but I don't. Because there's a proper way to prepare so that we don't make turbulence ahead of us. Lastly tonight, let's check
when Kairos' moment came to Mary, it created an opportunity for her. When that Kairos' moment came to Peter, it created danger for her. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, just a few hours to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We see what happened in verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me." It was supposed to be another Kairos moment. The Messiah is going to be released into the finality of his destiny to give his life for the entire world. Peter happened to be a part of that experience. But the only one thing was that Jesus said that the man that would take the battle to the gate of the enemy after his exit lacked capacity for his opportunity. Peter was supposed to be the next senior pastor, the bishop. This is bishop-elect without capacity. That's the truth. A bishop-elect without capacity. Jesus looked at him. "Simon, Simon. The devil has desired to sift you like wheat, because this new opportunity that is coming is going to tear you apart. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." That's the prayer of my heart for everyone in this service tonight. That as many as the next opportunity coming has been orchestrated by the devil, albeit coming from God, but the devil is sitting, you know, and looking for opportunities to pull you away from day to day, speaking to you, night by night, revealing something to you. The devil is covering every opportunity for you to build capacity, making you to focus on the wrong things. The prayer of my heart tonight is that your faith will not fail. I said your faith will not fail. When the Kairos moment came, just like Jesus said, thank God for the prayer of Jesus, Peter started manifesting. And that's the way most people would do in Kairos moment. First thing Peter did was to give Jesus some distance. In verse 55 of Luke 22, when you read it there, after they captured Jesus, Peter started giving him some distance. Bible says, and he followed at a distance. This was the man that used to rub shoulders with Jesus. He followed at a distance. Started walking away gradually from the master. Following. Still following, but now at a distance. Some people used to still sit on the front row in church, but apologies to people sitting at the back, but today now maybe they're following at a distance. Some people never used to miss midweek services until the Kairos moment came, and they didn't have capacity for the opportunity. The last time they were in church was last month. Not only midweek service, but Sunday. Nothing. Peter started following at a distance. And after a while, they said they found him amongst them. They said them. Sitting in the fireplace with them. And it was while he was sitting in the midst of them that he had the opportunity of asking him, "Lead us not into temptation." Jesus, when he met them at Gethsemane, he said, "Pray that you enter not." They didn't go seeking Peter. Peter went to sit amongst them. He was right amongst them that they were asking him, are you not one of them? He said, bros, don't go there. I don't know him. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. And then from sitting amongst them, taking fire, the same fire they are taking, got to a point where it wasn't only once, not twice, even the third time. Peter said, I have never met him. Simply put, like people will get at a point, they'll say, forget church. We're not talking of born again here. See, some brothers that lack capacity to get to a point, the sister will say, but you're supposed to be a Christian. Why do you want us to do it? Forget church. See, this is not about church. Praise God. Peter, after that Kairos moment, went somewhere. And the Bible says he wept. Somebody needs to weep here tonight. He wept. But the prayer that Jesus had prayed for him in advance started working. Jesus said, when you have returned to me, by implication, you are going to go away from me for a period. We said, you are going to come back because I prayed for you. People who didn't have the opportunity of such prayers never return. Why didn't Judas return? Jesus didn't pray for him. Why didn't Jesus pray for him? I was asking myself this afternoon. Why didn't Jesus pray for him? Because Satan had entered him before. It was too late. Judas lost the capacity because the issue with him started a long time ago. You see, when you cannot catch yourself doing something wrong and rebuke yourself in God's presence, you are in trouble. Judas had been stealing money from the poor, small, in the name of helping the poor. Peter had a good heart. He just lacked capacity. A bad heart with no capacity is a finished case. But do you know the truth? Judas's name was never mentioned in the prophecy. Nobody said it was going to be Judas. Someone would betray him. It could have been Andrew. It could have been John. It could be anybody. But the person, when the Kairos moment came, the person with a bad heart, with zero capacity, was qualified for the fulfillment of the prophecy. Can you hear me? Tap your neighbor. Say, watch your feet. Watch your steps. A prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Let's do it one more time. Say, watch your steps. Watch your path. A prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, as I round off tonight, I'd like for us to know that prophecies are always being fulfilled. And like the scripture says, that like a flying sparrow, he says, the curse that is not cursed shall not alight. Just like a man that did not do anything to warrant a curse cannot rest upon him, is the same thing. If you don't do anything, prophecy cannot rest upon you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Whether it's a good prophecy of being the mother of the Lord and the most envied amongst women, you have to do something. Build capacity for your opportunity. For Mary, it was just keeping her virginity. Or maybe it was the wrong prophecy of somebody having to betray Christ, albeit the prophet never mentioned the name of Judas. All Judas needed to do to be qualified was to keep the wrong heart with zero capacity. Somebody say, give me capacity for my opportunity. Please bow down your heads and begin to pray. Why don't you just talk to God? And just tell him, Lord, give me capacity, capacity, capacity for every opportunity, every prophecy that is to be fulfilled at this moment. Many moments, Kairos moments, coming upon our nation, coming upon the city of Lagos, coming upon our world. This economic meltdown is a Kairos moment for change in the distribution of wealth in our world. Not only in our nation, but in our world. The political impasse in our nation is a Kairos moment for change in political power and political authority. But someone must not be sitting on the fence. Someone must be developing capacity. Somebody must be found faithful. Somebody must have a good heart. Somebody must have capacity. That shaking that is happening in that company is going to create a Kairos moment. But someone must have the capacity. Someone must have the capacity. This economic meltdown, I'm so convinced, is a Kairos moment. Things will never remain the same again. Many prophecies shall be fulfilled at this time. Someone must develop capacity to fulfill the right prophecy at this time. When men say there's a casting down, we will say there's a lifting up, because the Lord our God will lift us up. Somebody needs to cry to God tonight. Somebody needs to cry to God and just tell him, Lord, give me capacity for my opportunity. Somebody needs to talk to God tonight. Somebody will have to cry to God tonight. Maybe your case is like the case of Peter. Jesus said, when you have returned to me, when you are converted, he said, strengthen your brethren. When you are converted, when you have returned back to me, somebody needs to return to God tonight. Someone needs to return to God. Somebody's prayer needs some fire. Purify my heart, oh God. Let it be as gold. Let the refiner's fire. Somebody needs to tell God tonight, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, preparing for my opportunity. Preparing for my opportunity. Developing capacity for my opportunity. Somebody needs to begin to pray, Lord, open my eyes to the Kairos moment. Open my eyes to that Kairos moment. Something is changing around me. Let me not be blind, oh God. Grant me the spirit of the sons of Issachar. Grant me the understanding of time, that I may know what to do. That I may know what to do. That I may be able to lead a generation. Tell him, Lord, I don't want to walk in darkness.
Grant me the understanding of time. Open my heart to a Kairos moment. Miratu sokolo gobosha. Ikereto sokoro do gobosha. Mempro tuseka lagosha. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we partake of this communion table tonight, there's a strong impression in my heart that some people here tonight, someone here tonight, you just need to get to that point that Peter got to. Weeping to the Lord, returning to his Lord, despite all the mistakes, despite all the deniers. And the prayer of your heart tonight is, Lord, I'm coming back. Let every encumbrance around my life, everything that has made me to deny you, everything that stands between me and the fulfillment of the prophecy, let every of such be taken away tonight. Lift up your hands and just tell them, Lord, 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 grant me a breakthrough tonight. Grant me a breakthrough tonight. Someone is here living in perpetual denial of Christ because you have been living in a lie, telling that lie consistently. Lying through your teeth. Maybe in business, maybe in your marriage, maybe in anything, but you've been living consistently in denial, just like Peter did. 3 times, he just went on and on and on and on.